If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio, in which we try to ask and answer some of the questions related to the Islamic laws based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. But before we embark on our episode, let's take a listen to a short biography. A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtada Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up till 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that. Back to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Tawheed, our guest speaker. We are dealing with some of the jurisprudential laws related to the medical issues. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh Tawheed. Welcome to the studio again.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My pleasure.
You're welcome. Well, let's talk about some of these jurisprudential laws, in fact, pertaining to the
the medical issues issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. What's the view of Ayatollah Khamenei on carrying out a vasectomy on a man?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, there is no objection to having a vasectomy done by an expert, and it is permissible in and of itself, provided that, of course, it is done for a sensible reason, for a reasonable cause, and it shouldn't also lead to a considerable harm, because in such matters, of course, one should seek the opinion of a specialist, a doctor, and the religious authority simply says whether it is obviously halal or haram, permissible or not. But if there is any harm, or if there is any negative consequences, the patient or the person who seeks this kind of operation,
yes,
must consult a physician or an expert. And of course, having a vasectomy done is kind of abominable. It is makruh, because it's better for a man to always be able to have a child. And I just read a few days ago that some of the scholars are of the opinion, but I didn't find Ayatollah Khamenei's opinion in this regard. Some of the scholars are of the view that, you know, if vasectomy is irreversible, it's not permissible even. Mm-hmm. But generally speaking, I'm not sure. I think vasectomy can be reversible. Mm-hmm. So if it is reversible, according to all religious authorities, no matter who he is, it is permissible. But it is makruh, because the man actually chooses not to have children, while having children is always recommended.
Mm-hmm, I see. Okay, I have another question, Sheikh Javid. I may actually ask you that before the break. And that is it permissible for a healthy woman for whom pregnancy is not harmful to use any of the contraceptives, such as a coitus interruptus, the diaphragm, the pill, or the sterilization? And is it permissible for the husband to force his wife to use any method other than the coitus interruptus?
Well, that's a good question, you know. As we did discuss in one of the previous episodes, in itself, you know, using any kind of contraceptives,
yes,
is permissible. There is no problem in doing contraception by way of, let's say, the coitus interruptus, as you mentioned. And also, there is no objection to resorting to any other method, provided that it is driven by a sensible reason. It has a sensible motive. And also, of course, when going for one of these methods, because there are different contraceptive methods which are very much used by people, by couple, one should make sure that one goes for the method which is not harmful. And if there is considerable harm to the method, then it is not permissible, because it's not, mm-hmm, permissible for a man or a woman to inflict considerable or substantial harm on himself or herself.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing more, because you just said that whether a woman is allowed to go for one of the, you know, the methods, you know, I did mention also in the previous episode that according to His Eminence, the permission of the husband is required, and she cannot go for any of these methods without the consent and prior knowledge of the husband.
Mm-hmm.
It's not only knowledge, but his permission should be obtained explicitly.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Let's take a break, and we'll be back and continue our program, Islamic Laws, on IRIB English Radio. Don't go away.
The followers of Ayatollah Khomeini can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khomeini's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Allah, ya Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah, ya Allah, oh Allah, don't let me go astray, cause I need you.
Back to the program, Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javed, our guest speaker. We are still talking about some of the jurisprudential laws related to the medical issues based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khomeini. Sheikh Javed, I asked you a question before the break. Of course, half of the question remained. Would you be kind enough actually to, give us the answer to that question? And the answer, just to remind you of it, is, the question is that, is it permissible for the husband to force his wife? You said that the husband's consent is required.
Yes.
But what about husband's imposition of such, sterilization method on his wife?
Yeah. I did say that, okay, the husband's permission is required when it comes to using a contraceptive method. But when it comes to the husband imposing or forcing his wife to do so, of course, he has no right, according to all religious authorities, to force his wife to use one of the contraceptive methods. Yes. Just as he does not have the right to make his wife to become pregnant, it is completely a matter of the woman's choice to become pregnant or not, to choose whether she wants to become pregnant or not. The husband has no right to force her to become pregnant or to terminate the pregnancy.
Doesn't the choice of having a child or not require a kind of mutual consent on both sides? Because they're living a life together, so they need to actually decide that, or on an issue such important, issue as having a child or not, like both consents of the woman and the husband's required?
Well, the woman's womb is the woman's womb. Mm-hmm. It's not that of the husband.
I see.
So she can choose to become pregnant, and if she becomes pregnant, and if she decides to become pregnant, the husband cannot stop her. Mm-hmm. She has the right to become pregnant, and of course, vice versa, if she wants to use a contraceptive pill, or let's say, go for the tubal ligation. I'm not sure if that's the proper word to use.
Right.
Then she must get her husband's permission.
I see. So it is possible, or it is permissible, for a woman to use contraceptives without the permission of her husband?
No. As I mentioned, she cannot. She cannot use one
but
of the.
But you said it is the woman's right, and is the woman's womb to become pregnant or not?
Or not, but if she wants to go for not becoming, she must consult, her husband and get his permission.
I see.
But if she gets pregnant, then it is her right. It is her decision to do so, and of course, the husband cannot force her to terminate the pregnancy or to use a contraceptive pill in order to abort the fetus.
Mm-hmm, I see. Thank you very much, Sheikh Javed. And thank you, my dear listeners, for listening to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
رحمن رحيم منان كريم سلام عليم لا إله إلا هو غفار جميل وهاب لطيف تواب سميع بصير لا إله إلا هو وحيد قدير محيي المميت الظاهر والباطن